Mini episode 1821 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode 1821. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris coming at you today with one of our beloved FDH Lounge dignitaries. He is a great sports writer for Our Sports Central, Fran Stuckberry, and he has recently just taken the second of two different trips that he made to be able to cover a number of minor league sports in the same city. A recent trip in March to Grand Rapids, Michigan, to be able to check out a number of different sporting events there. This follows a similar trip that he made to Atlanta in 2024 to be able to cover a number of different events. In this case with Grand Rapids, I believe they were all in the same arena. And so it was a little bit easier to coordinate in terms of the logistics of it. A city like Atlanta, of course, they have a wealth of major league sports aspects, but also minor league ones as well. So we're going to talk about this, about the experience of hitting a bunch of different minor league sports in the same city in a concentrated trip. It's a fun way to spend some time here. It's a fun way to just kind of get away and see perhaps some of the stars of tomorrow. And I certainly hope that we can count among them a number of the Grand Rapids Griffins. That happens to be my favorite minor league hockey team, as they are the affiliate of my beloved Detroit Red Wings. But here to talk about all that and much, much more, of course, the great Fran Stuckberry from Our Sports Central. Fran, welcome to the program, my man. Good to have you on today.
Thanks, Rick. I'm so happy to be on. This is a fun thing of me. I mean, we're talking about sports that are non-football related. The world must be coming to an apocalypse. Is COVID happening again?
Nah. That's right. That's right. You are the guy that covers football at all levels. And again, most of the time when we're doing something like this, it's going to be football oriented. But of course, with Our Sports Central, the focus there is on minor league sports across the board. And of course, I recommend to everybody checking out on that website every week. Fran does the Last Week Around the Leagues, a big, big roundup, probably the most comprehensive roundup that you will find on the internet of minor league sports for the previous week. So there are a number of different entities that have shown up in Last Week Around the Leagues that are showing up again in this article on Grand Rapids and in the previous article on Atlanta.
Well, Rick, last year I went to Atlanta. I ended up covering three sports events in the 3 days in the same arena, the Gas South Arena in Duluth, the suburbs. Mm-hmm. They had an AEW event there the following week. But, first I covered the Atlanta Volleyball Federation game. Volleyball is fun in person. The action, the excitement. I've gone to several NCAA Wolfpack games in person in the upper level. They're lots of fun. Plus, you can get up to five sets, so you get your money's worth sometimes. But that was fun. The second one I covered was the Georgia Swarm National Cross League game, where they gave me a press pass where I basically can sit anywhere I want around the arena. And Rick, as people know, I'm a walker, so I was moving all over the arena, getting different views, different things. It went into overtime, and the Swarm won. But the thing was, it was such a rock concert with the music, with the events, with the game, the activities. It was so much. Best experience I ever had for a sports fan in person, because the National Cross League is really so much better in person than on TV.
Well, then that's something you and I have in common, is watching one of the greatest available, I think, minor league sporting events in Atlanta. So you watched the lacrosse down there, and I had been the previous winter with my nephew down to go see the overtime elite down there. And so that is now a very unique experience now that the G League Ignite no longer is a part of the NBA developmental system, but the Overtime Elite, the same type of developmental system that players will go to in lieu of college. But now it's also a thing where you can go there, and I think if you defer your money, then you can go to college afterwards. So Atlanta has a number of great different sporting opportunities here that really are under the radar, which I suppose you would expect for a megalopolis of that size.
And plus, they also cover the ECHL Atlanta Gladiators. I mean, it was a fun team. I mean, fun mm-hmm. fun night out.
Yeah. I mean, you really got your money's worth out of that Atlanta trip. And I remember you writing about it at the time and all the different fun experiences that you had as a part of that.
Yeah, it was definitely a fun experience to cover three sports events, 3 days in the same arena. It was lots of fun. And then prior to my Grand Rapids trip, two weeks ago, I covered the Professional Women's Hockey League Takeover Tour. Rick, that was such a fun experience. No one expected 10,782 fans in the Lenovo Center for Raleigh. I mean, I don't think Raleigh's going to get a team, but they really made their best foot forward, Rick.
Yeah, and it is a very interesting kind of business plan that they have of doing the barnstorming and doing it in that way of where there are designated city affiliations with teams, but that doesn't necessarily have any bearing on where the games are being played. So it's interesting that, yeah, I mean, they could continue to get barnstorming opportunities there without necessarily having a team. But again, that's how if you want to show that you deserve a team in your market, that's how you show that you do that, by showing up 10,000 strong or better.
Yeah, it was a fun experience. I used to work on directing traffic and the cashier at the PNC Arena, now the Lenovo Center. And the fun thing was, I was finally, my life goes a complete circle. I was able to cover the, I was able to be in the press box the first time ever, way high up. And the thing was, the league did such a great job giving us post-press conference quotes and things. I was able to make my article full with lots of content. And I was able to attend the post-game press conference and get more stuff. I mean, women's hockey is, they're going to add two more teams, right? Maybe Detroit gets one close to your neck of the woods, maybe mm-hmm. a team out west. But especially Women's Hockey League, it's getting there. I mean, it's a fun product. I mean, we had a Michigan goal in New York Sirens game a week ago, which was in my last week around the league for our Sports Central. Check it out. But especially Women's Hockey, it's going to slowly build, and hopefully they get a TV deal, because it's only so much you can watch on YouTube, Rick. What do you think? What do you think about that? Is TV better or YouTube? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, those are good experiences for being able to consume sports. I think you had sent me a YouTube link to the one hockey game. I mean, that's a pretty good experience, whether you make it a second screen experience or a first screen experience if you beam it to your TV. So those are the type of things that these leagues are going to need to embrace as far as making the game more widely available and to pick up an audience potentially even outside of the markets of just people who are interested in watching these certain minor league events who may not even live in one of these cities here. So it is something where, again, embracing the global possibilities of your sporting event being seen, that's always a thing that's a plus for teams, certainly, because it probably doesn't really come at the expense of the local gate, I wouldn't think.
Well, the thing is, these days people have like Apple TV, so you can watch it on YouTube. It's like watching the game on TV. You can't miss a beat.
Yep.
But some of these leagues are going different, you know, apps, and every league is different. The Pro Hockey Federation likes to have good games on YouTube, but they have a wide variety of games on other networks.
Yeah, and that's where, again, there are so many different platforms to be able to consume this action. And this is a thing where, again, I was doing a little bit of research on the internet, and when you're looking at it, and again, like I said, a city like Atlanta, there's a lot of things in and around the area as far as, you know, quality minor league experiences to go along with the major league experiences, just because it is a gigantic market of that size. So you would assume that that's the case in a lot of the major markets in this country, that there's also this sort of, I won't call it, you know, underbelly necessarily, but this additional kind of scene that most people may or may not be privy to as far as minor league and developmental experiences. Then you start to get into some of the more mid-market areas of the country, where I think Grand Rapids probably qualifies as one of them. And so many different aspects there. I mean, Grand Rapids, for a city of its size, will never have a major league team there. But the wealth of opportunities to go watch minor league sports and all of these things that can be very entertaining. This was the thing that was the focus of your most recent trip that you made.
Well, the fun thing was, Rick, when I covered the volleyball game Friday, I saw the arena football banners hanging up at the Rampage. Mm-hmm. They won a championship there. All four banners. I mean, Rick, in my article, come on. I mean, why would you have a 20-year anniversary? All these other banners. I mean, the conference championship, the arena ball. That was. I went up there. I walked around the arena to get a good photo, just because people still they love the old Arena Football League. And the thing is, the arena is owned by Devos, Dan Devos. So they own the Rampage. I was surprised to see banners up there still, but it's part of the history. It's part of the nostalgia. Can they put another team there? Not this Arena Football One version. No way. But Indoor Football League wouldn't be bad for that. But the problem is, when you have all these sports team bricks, when are you going to be able to play?
Yeah. Well, that's true. And I would imagine that for an arena like that, that scheduling becomes an issue. You have to coordinate if there's multiple franchises that are located in the same arena. And again, based on, you know, the ownership there, you know, if the ownership happens to coincide with any of the local teams, they may get the preferential treatment on dates. But it probably is something of a scheduling challenge as far as fitting all of them in the same arena. Like I said, the part of your trip that I personally, selfishly took the most interest in was the part with the Grand Rapids Griffins, because I'm always looking to see what the Red Wings prospects are up to. And Nate Danielson, this is somebody where you, I think a couple months previous to that, had posted some nice highlights of him as part of your Last Week Around the Leagues column. And you got to see him and all the other budding stars once again in Grand Rapids.
Well, the thing is, Rick, I mean, the Griffins had a great crowd on Friday night. They support their teams. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, they support all three teams get support. The problem is with the Grand Rapids Friday's volleyball team is they're low on the pecking order, so they don't get the arena dates that the other teams have. When they had that Saturday afternoon game, Rick, and which you see in my article, the place was packed. Noon Saturday, people were there. They had fans were there. So, and even like the G League, they had 8,000 fans on a Saturday night. So, certain nights, you know how it works, Rick, with these leagues. During the week, not so much. Friday night, Saturday night, you get good crowds. Sunday's a mixed bag in these leagues. They have a lot of games on Sundays with these minor leagues, but they don't draw that well, Rick. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, and I think part of the key for a market like Grand Rapids is when you're talking about the G League. So essentially, really, it's only for the most part baseball in this country that has multiple levels of minor league designations. So the G League is just, I mean, it's a gigantic step below the NBA, but it's just one step below the NBA. Same thing with the AHL. It's a gigantic step below the NHL, but it is just the one step below that. So that's where, again, it really has that going for it, that if you're a Red Wings fan or if you're a fan of the G League affiliate major team, then that becomes a matter of you're going to want to see these prospects there. It's this built-in hook of cheering for somebody that's in an organization that you really care about.
Well, the thing is, Rick, even at the Griffins game, they had several Detroit Red Wing fans dressed wearing their jerseys there, Rick. One fun story to share with you was, as typical with minor league hockey, NHL scouts were on hand, including Mark White of the Winnipeg Jets, who was there who was with the team since 2015-2016. Years ago, when I went to Orlando, I covered an Orlando Seals WHA 2 game, and of all things, he actually played for that team, so I probably watched the guy play in person. Then years later, I ran into him, Rick. That was kind of funny.
That is kind of funny. Yeah. I mean, you never know as you're going through and having these experiences who you're going to bump into. And as you documented in your article, it is a very kind of decorated past for Grand Rapids as far as the different teams that have passed through town there. And as you said, some of the championships that have happened along the way here. And so it did seem, I got the sense from reading the article and just from the bits and pieces you've alluded to thus far, that there was that real kind of passion in the crowd there that the folks in this market have for their local teams.
Yeah, the fans cheering them on, the support, it was really nice. And it's in a safe area, Rick. Usually a lot of arenas, you don't want to walk around, but I was like 1.5 miles away from my hotel to the arena. It was a safe area. I walked there, no issues. Walked back, no issues. I was able to walk around feeling completely safe and not having to attempt to do a ride share.
Well, that is good. That's good that you didn't have to do that. And in looking at it here, too, when you talk about the affordability of it, because, again, we know what the affordability is or is not at the NBA and the NHL level. But if you want to go watch a Grand Rapids Griffins game there, tickets ranging from $22 to $40, you can't beat that.
No, you can't. I mean, the prices are good. The Bible is inexpensive as well as the G League. It's all affordable where you can go out with families and have a family night out.
Okay. Yeah, and that's where, again, you really have the opportunity to go and like you said, really kind of make it an affordable evening for the family. That's where, you know, I suppose a lot of the marketing is probably done towards that as far as a nice particularly in today's economy with what prices are. Yeah. I mean, where else are you going to be able to go to do something like that? So at a point in time where ticket prices in the major leagues of sports are sort of now, driving people home, which kind of coincides with the options for watching on TV seem to get better every year. I mean, we're almost, I'd say we're a decade into, I think, HD being sort of universal for the home experience, maybe greater than a decade on that part. And the sound and the camera action and everything like that picking up. That watching from home has never, ever, ever been a better experience. The price of TVs, even big screens, has just plummeted. So for major league sports, you're seeing it go that way. But for minor league sports, and as we said before, yeah, I mean, if a game's on YouTube, then you can always watch that on your big screen. But it's a way to be able to go out, to bring the family to an event, to be able to participate in something where you're getting a real quality experience, but you're doing it for a tiny, tiny fraction of what it would be costing you if it were the NHL or the NBA, for example.
Well, I think in some markets, the minor league teams fans actually want to follow them out, not just at home or on the road. But if you're in a major market, it's kind of like I'm in Raleigh. I mean, I'll go to them both games, but I'm not going to go out of my way to watch them on TV. It's one of those things where you go there for the experience.
Yes. And that's it. It's a unique experience to be able to go there. And I think this is sort of widely known about the minor leagues, is that they are very fan friendly. I mean, there will be, T-shirt giveaways, whether it be, shooting them into the stands or anything like that. But, mascots, all of the things that kids basically love. It's very fan friendly, but I keep circling back to this, very, very family friendly as well. Which is a smart thing for the teams to do, because then you're looking at, 3, 4, 5 or potentially more tickets getting sold at a time. So it makes all the sense in the world for teams to aim it that way. And it makes all the sense in the world for families to gravitate towards it.
Well, especially like in minor leagues, the parking is affordable. You go to an NHL game, you spend at least $40-$50 for parking. It's ridiculous. And the thing is, I'm excited about ECHL getting an ECHL team, the Greensboro Gargoyles. So that'll be a situation where I might be able to check out a couple of games. It's worth the, drive for me just to cover that, because that's the ECHL, second level below AHL.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That as far as what you find there, as far as the, so I think I misspoke before when I said the AHL. So they're the primary ones below the NHL level, but you're right. There is the ECHL. It doesn't go as many different levels as Major League Baseball, but yes, ECHL, you can get quality there. I know that a good friend of the show, Jeff Briscoe, has been somebody that's done some coverage for the Fort Myers, Tarpons, down in Florida there. So the ECHL is a very quality circuit as well. So anytime you get a chance to catch any of these type of games there, it is a really good experience. Are there any thoughts that you have geared towards, like, from a tourism aspect here? If somebody was interested in doing what you did, they probably wouldn't be able to get accredited the way that you did. But as far as I want to go to, I want to take a roadie up to Grand Rapids for a weekend. I live close enough that that's plausible. So anybody in a certain radius in the Midwest would be close enough to do this. If they wanted to do that, map it out to catch a couple of different events the same weekend, the same way that you did. Any particular thoughts or recommendations if somebody was looking to do that?
Well, there's so much for people to do there. I mean, those five games over 4 day period. Saturday had the doubleheader with the volleyball at noon, and then the basketball at the evening. So, it's one of those things where if you plan it out and you do things outside of it. I went to the Grand Rapids Museum of Art where I spent $12 and walked around, took some pictures of art. I was able to walk around a little bit. I mean, I saw the Rosa Parks statue out downtown. It's a fun thing to do. And it's affordable. Even as a fan, you can go multiple days and just check out these teams. Grand Rapids is a safe market. You're not going to, feel any risk or any danger. It's just nice. And then you see the band support and the fans cheering them on and the kids at the games being happy. Like, they had Princess Day at the revival game. That brought a lot of boys and girls that were happy to be there. It's the promotions. It's the T-shirts tossed in the stands. It's the cheering on. Winning to a degree helps a lot, because then if you win, the more you win, then it depends on each team. If you're owned by the NHL team, it's about developing talent. If you're owned by an owner, you have to win. If you win, you get more people to come to the games.
Yes, and that's so it's always kind of a little bit of a balance there, because even the ones that are owned by the major affiliates, they do care about, obviously, winning, just to be able to put the butts in the seats there locally. But yes, there will be sometimes a little bit of a different emphasis on winning or development based on who the owner of the team is. So as far as it goes with the whole concept of taking a trip to watch a bunch of minor league sports in the course of a weekend or a long weekend or anything like that, any thoughts of yours that we hadn't gotten to yet?
Well, it's fun to do. I mean, I pushed so far this year than last year, doing four spots in 3 days. I was like, I ran that gauntlet, Rick. I just did. It's fun. I'm branching out, Rick. I used to do nothing but football. Now I'm branching out because I'm always there for sports. I had my own version of March Madness, six sports events over a 15-day period. I covered the Professional Women's Hockey League, United Soccer League Championship, Pro Volleyball Federation, American Hockey League, NBA G League, and National Women's Soccer League. So it's been, fun. I'm so happy to be living in Raleigh, Rick, where I have a variety of sports options where I can cover soccer and a variety of sports, to have that sports lifestyle, even like on a lifestyle where I can go to the campus at NC State and watch volleyball and soccer and volleyball and gymnastics, just to have this, so many sports options in a city. That's a lot of fun.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, and you living in the triangle there, obviously NC State closest to where you're at, but for somebody like you, you lump in North Carolina and Duke on top of that. And then, like you said before, if you want to go out to Greensboro to watch a little bit of ECHL, I mean, for anybody there, in the triangle area in the Carolinas, if you want to lump in college sports with minor league sports, I mean, you've got probably one of the biggest plates of options that anybody has nationally.
And plus, Rick, I have 7 mile drive from Cary, where I have the North Carolina Courage, which I mostly cover, and a couple of North Carolina SC games. The women's team, you get the best soccer players in the world competing. It's funny, Rick. I don't know if they want an NWSL team now. There's no way they would get it with that arena. It's the oldest stadium, because these days you want the big stadiums, the amenities. But it's a nice little stadium where they had 8,300 fans. A home crowd record for a home opener. The Courage game I covered last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's another growing situation right there as far as what their following has been. And any thoughts in your head, any kind of rough plans for any subsequent trips like this down the road to check out a bunch of things in the same area?
Well, one thing might be in my own neck of the woods, Greensboro, because they're going to have the ECHL team there next year in that arena. They're going to have the NBA G League team, plus the National Arena League Carolina Cobras, so the NBA G League Greensboro Swarm. That could be in my neck of the woods, where I can just drive there, stay in a nice hotel, and then cover that over a three-day period next year. Other cities where if I have friends I can stay with that can drive to different places. Dallas has a lot of sports options. I can maybe do a United Football League game. I can do different leagues. It kind of depends, but I mean, Grand Rapids, really, they love their minor league teams. Atlanta was fun, but it was that's a major league sports town. Grand Rapids is a minor league sports town. Where Atlanta, I'll be able to do the Coke Factory and the aquarium. It's just it's fun. I mean, I'll see what's out there. I'm willing to do that, but it's far and few between what happens in Grand Rapids in other arenas.
Yeah, and Atlanta also with the College Football Hall of Fame. I highly recommend that. That was great to be able to go to when I was down there as well. Yeah, there is a wealth of great options down there in Atlanta.
Also being from New York, I'm tempted to maybe go to Brooklyn, do a Brooklyn Cyclones game, and then the Brooklyn FC Men's and USL Super League games. Maybe in my hometown of Brooklyn, I can go out there and get the New York Liberty.
Yeah, that's possible
as
well.
I'm saying, going back to my stomping grounds where I was born, hey, man, anything's possible. Hopefully I have no blessed in the past encounters.
Yeah. Well, and then even Staten Island there in New York, because that seems like a cool place to watch a baseball game. How many places have a backdrop like that with the Statue of Liberty? So, New York Harbor and all of that. So, yeah, there's a lot of great, like I said before, places like Atlanta, New York, the major markets, you can always find that. And again, like, I don't want to use the term because people would find it distasteful potentially when I say underbelly of it. But as far as a sports scene that you don't necessarily know about, as far as, the minor league options that exist there, or potentially even the collegiate options that exist. I mean, how many different colleges of different sizes even exist in the Atlanta and New York markets? A whole bunch of them. So there's you can do that in big cities. But then again, so you've experienced both sides of this. You do it in a big city and then you go to a place like Grand Rapids, where the heart and soul of the entire local system are the minor league teams there. So there are different ways to approach this. And I think at this point, you've covered both of them for the first time.
One thing is, Rick, I mean, when I walked to the Van Halen Arena, they had all three banners up on that Van Halen Arena where the three teams, that's their home field. The one thing about Grand Rapids, Rick, I'll ask you for your expertise. They're going to get an MLS Next Pro team. What do you think about them maybe going further and getting that USL USL league that's going to aim to be a big market, compete with MLS. I think they can support that, or maybe they should just stick with MLS Next Pro.
Well, possibly, yeah. I mean, and that's where, again, if you have a good enough following for the teams that are there, it will lead to sometimes some thoughts of like, well, can we do something bigger? So if there's a bigger league that is forming, the first thought is that for any type of, market that's or any type of league that's truly trying to go big league, it would seem a little bit unlikely that you put a team in Grand Rapids. But if it's a competitor league to an existing league and it's going to have to take some more chances, be a little bit more daring with the markets that they're in, then yes, potentially Grand Rapids might be a market that could support it. Because, imagine if you actually have a team there where you can preach to the locals that this is, a bigger entity than most of the other teams that you even have in an area. That is something I think would sell even more tickets locally.
Well, Rick, they did that with the Rampage, and the teams and the fans loved it there. So, but going higher than that, it's unlikely with the market size. But the thing is, Grand Rapids will definitely support the soccer team wherever league they play in. If it then wasn't pro, they will support it. But it's a market that cares about their teams, and they've always had a history of caring, and it's just nice to see that, to see going there firsthand, fans really support these teams. In my league, they support the teams. They like bringing their families to the games. They like buying the merchandise, and they love when they get t-shirts tossed in the stands.
They do, and it really is something that is a sight to behold as you get a chance to kind of take in the whole panorama of options here, as you did over the course of a weekend. But always great running through things with you, Fran. I know that you and I have most of all on this show coalesced around subjects of college football. So we'll have that to look forward to later this year and potentially something before then. But always great to have you on. And this is, again, something very different that we could kind of throw into the mix. So thank you for coming up with the idea of doing a segment on this here, Fran. Much appreciated.
My pleasure, Rick. I'm so happy I branched out, not just staying in my comfort zone in football. Now I'm covering it all.
Now you are. And for the first time appearing with us now that we're doing our shows predominantly on video. So great to have you on with that as well, Fran. Thank you so much. And thank you, everybody, for checking us out here today with FDH Lounge mini episode 1821.